Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning, especially our visitors. We're very glad that you came to worship with us, took time out of your schedule to come and worship with us. We consider that an honor, and especially those, probably the greatest compliment we as a congregation could get is the fact if you return as a visitor. We have a number of visitors that every time they're in town, they come and worship with us, and we're very appreciative of that. Today, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13. Tracy read that for us earlier, and Paul is writing to the Christians there in Corinth, and one of the many lessons in 1 Corinthians is this one right here from this passage. Paul says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." What a wonderful passage this is. One of the many messages in this is this first phrase, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." There are a lot of our religious friends out in the world that has that idea of once saved, always saved. That once you're saved, I mean, you're good to go. Safe at home. But this shows you can fall from grace. You can lose that salvation. And Paul is warning them, take heed lest you fall. You know, for us not to have that false sense of security. And the idea to be aware that we can fall. Sometimes those are some of the most shocking. We've all done it. Be walking along, talking with somebody, and just maybe step off a curb. You know, you're walking along and, you know, it's like you're falling off the Grand Canyon because you're not aware of it. You know, any other time you're aware, you make the adjustment, you step down. If you're not aware of it, that fall can be great. You can, you know, and that's what this is. You think everything's fine, but that fall is going to be great. And we're unaware. Paul is saying, be aware that danger is there. In Matthew 7, Jesus is giving one of the most sobering wake-up passages that I'm aware of. He's saying, starting in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." There's a lot of people that are aware of Jesus. There is a lot of people that call on him as their Savior, as the Son of God. And he goes on to say, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name.' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. I never knew you. You were never one of mine. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" There is a big difference in stumbling and living in sin. This phrase here, "you who practice lawlessness. You're living it. You practice it. You have such a false sense of security. You think you're doing religious things. And you might even be. But you practice lawlessness. You don't live the way. You don't keep my commandments. Goes on to say, Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Common to man. A lot of times, isn't it easy to think what I'm going through, I'm unique? No one else has ever gone through the trial I'm facing. That is very easy to fall into. That nobody understands. That's one of the reasons why we pray for each other. Preston mentioned in the announcements that we believe in prayer. That we pray with, for each other. Excuse me. And that's one of the important things that we get out of prayer is going to God on behalf and with each other because we understand the weaknesses that others are going through. You know, some of the things like greed and jealousy and hatred, envy, gossip are all sins. Well, we made mention today in Bible class, you know, and I've said this so many times, on that great and wonderful day that we're going to have to stand before God, would it make somebody feel better to be condemned and have to go to hell for envy or hatred in their heart or gossip or jealousy? Or causing division amongst the brothers? Would it make somebody feel better to go to hell for that? Rather, but I didn't commit murder. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. You know, it's almost like we rank sins. We as people. And Paul is saying, no temptation has overtaken you except that is common to man. He understands that. We understand that. In 1 John 2:16, the Apostle John wrote, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Can you think of any sin that does not fall into one of those categories? You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The sins that are in the world fall into one of those. And we may not have gone through exactly what somebody else has done, but we've the category, we understand that weakness. In Matthew 4, in verses 1 through 11... this is where Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted by the devil. Well, we see those three avenues of sin that Jesus was tempted in. In verse 3, the lust of the flesh. Turning the stones into bread. Hunger. In verses 5 and 6, pride. You're the Son of God. Throw yourself off the temple. The angels, they'll save you. Show everybody what you got. That pride. We see that pride when Jesus was on the cross. Oh, he saved others. He can't save himself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Oh, you want to see the power of the Son of God? That would have been tempting. I'm glad Bruce wasn't the one hanging on the cross for the sins of the world. One, that had been a very big disappointment for the world, but I wouldn't have handled it as well as Jesus. And in verses 8 and 9, the lust of the eyes. All these kingdoms can be yours. Oh, but Jesus, you don't understand what I'm going through. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Without sin. Just because we're tempted doesn't mean we have to succumb to sin. Paul wrote that no temptation that except is common to man, but will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. We have that power. A lot of times, isn't it easy to think we're powerless over sin? That I can't do it. And in a lot of ways, we can't do it alone. But we have the power at our disposal to overcome sin. James 1, starting verse 12, James writes, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. What wonderful words there from James. Paul says, we'll also make the way of escape. Not only are the temptations we have common to each other, that we can pray for each other, we can strengthen each other, we can identify and recognize the help people need in their fight against sin. But God has provided a way of escape. Sometimes we just have to see it. It's there if we're looking. Some sins are easy to get out of. Some might be a little awkward. You know what? And I'm sure you've been there. We might lose friends because of sin. We might have an argument with a family member over sin. We might have an issue at work because of sin. I'm sorry, I can't do this, or whatever. When we say no in front of friends, it's, well, why not? Because it's wrong. Well, you're saying I'm wrong? Yeah. And that sometimes is awkward. Sometimes you might be teased. You might be teased at school for not going along with your buddies. You might be teased by your friends when you are older, out of school. In Matthew 4, those temptations that Jesus went through, he always responded with Scripture. He always said, as it is written. He relied upon Scripture. That gives us shows us the importance of studying our Bibles. To be able to have that ready recollection. I always appreciate that phrase in prayers, give them a ready recollection. As I'm getting older, sometimes I forget what I had for breakfast, and much less the things I'm wanting to talk about. But to be able to have at our disposal the Word of God, to use that, not I think, I feel, in my opinion, but a Scripture to strengthen us. In 1 Timothy, and this was brought up in Bible class today, Tracy brought the Scripture up. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you also were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Paul is telling Timothy, you fight that good fight. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be faced with so many different battles, but be victorious. Overcome those. In James 4, 7, and 8, James says, therefore submit to God. In Bible class, we were talking about that word submission. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We have an outlet by drawing near to God, resisting the devil, saying no. We see the example that Joseph used. He was being tempted and trying to be enticed by sin, by Potiphar's wife. And it got to the point, you know, he said no a number of times. And finally she grabbed, he wound up running out of the house. Didn't mean that he didn't still face the consequences. But it said he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran out. That's a little awkward. But he wasn't going to sin. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He had that decision already made. He didn't cross that bridge when he got to it. He purposed in his heart ahead of time that he would not defile himself. We are warned by Paul in this passage in 1 Corinthians 10 to take heed. We can fall. Falling away, and there's probably not one of us that have been in the church for any length of time that haven't known of another Christian that might have appeared to be strong that has fallen away. It can happen. The sins are common to man. You're not special, cupcake. You know, it's not just you. It's common to man. We will never be faced with anything that we're not capable of handling. What beyond what we are able to face. And God will provide a way of escape, but we have to take it. Doesn't mean that we don't have to make that decision, but we can take it if it's there. I hope these verses have made you a little bit better equipped to face the world this week. I hope it does me. Like I've always said, you know, I know that one person will always benefit from the lesson, whether anybody else does or not. Hopefully, I will take these to heart and be able to face this new week bolder and more aggressively, knowing that there's ways out of the temptations of this world. If you need to respond to the invitation, we never like to dismiss an assembly or a worship that without giving people an opportunity to respond to God's invitation of salvation. If you've been studying and realize that you need to be saved through baptism, there's no other way. There's no special words to say. There's no sinner's prayer to say. We are saved when we put our Lord on through baptism, when we wash away our sins. If you need prayers of the congregation, we will pray with and for you. If you need to repent of sins, there is no better time than this moment right now. Repent of those sins that are holding you back from serving God fully like you can. If you've been searching around, visiting some other congregations of the Lord's body in town and would like to work and worship with us here, please make that known. We would love to worship and work in the kingdom with you. Whatever your need. And again, we appreciate the visitors that are in Las Vegas, or some of you live here, that you decided to come worship with us. We invite you back at your next opportunity. And if you would, let's stand and sing. If you need to respond, please come forward. Kurt?